In our hymn, we sang, "Blessed be the Lord, whose coming is in the name of God. For him, let the doors be open, no hearts against him barred, not robed in royal splendor. In power and pomp comes he, but clad as are the poorest, such his humility." My brothers and sisters, Godalte. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Godalte. The Sunday, our third Sunday of Advent, is the Sunday of joy. Today we lit the rose candle to remind us that this is a special day, a day in which we are reminded to rejoice. Now, Godalte comes from the ancient introit that in Latin said rejoice. It opened up the service that morning. Now, in times when Advent was seen more as a little Lent, more of a penitential time, when people would follow a lot of the same fasting and restrictions that they did during the Lenten season, this would have been a refreshment Sunday. This would have been a time when everybody got a little break from their rough fasting. In other words, you could have had a piece of cake today. Now, nowadays, we often see the time of Advent as more of a time of preparation than as a time of penance. Yet, today is this day that reminds us that we're all waiting for the Lord and that we are rejoiced that he has come to us already. And we also rejoice in the knowledge of his coming again. In our gospel today, we hear about John the Baptist being in jail. He has been arrested and is waiting to find out what's going to happen with his life. Now, for a person like John the Baptist, he had to realize throughout his ministry that this was one of those things that was going to eventually happen. For someone to speak out as much as John did against the excesses of power, about the need to repent, that for those, whether they are sitting in high kingdoms or sitting in low hovels, to change their lives because the Savior has come. The Messiah is here. He had to know that eventually he was going to end up where he did in prison. Especially when you start speaking out against the Herod. Now we've talked about in the past where in the Roman Empire, the one thing Rome disliked more than anything else was conflict. They liked things to run smooth. They didn't like the locals to get too excited and create too much of an uproar. Now Herod, being a puppet ruler under Caesar, also disliked conflict, in part because he realized that if he could not keep the peace, he would not keep his job. That all the luxuries, all the power, all those earthly splendors that he has been given could be taken away from him. Even his own life, if Caesar was not happy. So, see, you know, Herod wanted to keep the peace as much as any Roman official. Also, you have John who's speaking out against his marriage to his sister-in-law. So you have John ending up in jail. Now, John has one task. Yes, part of it was preaching and baptizing, but John's main task was to announce the coming of the Messiah, to let people know that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that God incarnate through Jesus was here. And he's done that, but now he's sitting in jail. And he sends out his followers to ask, Jesus, are you really him? Now, I don't know what's going on through John's head, if he had a moment of doubt, or if he just wanted to make sure because, you know, when we have an important task to do, and we think we have accomplished it, or we see something now getting in the way of it, I think John wanted to be certain. He wanted some reassurance that he did what he was called to do. Now, John, we know from within his mother's womb, already recognized Jesus as the Savior in Mary's womb. We are told that when Mary, after conceiving Jesus, goes to her cousin's house, and John in his mother's womb leaps for joy at just the presence of being within the unborn Christ. And then later on, as they gather on the shore and people are getting ready to lift John the Baptist up as the Savior, he makes certain that they know that the Savior really is here. And he points out Jesus. And he baptized Jesus. So in many ways, John has done his job as the last and possibly the greatest prophet. Yet he sends out his disciples just to check. Now, whether he does this because of that moment of uncertainty or he did it because he wanted them to see Jesus themselves, they go. And when Jesus is asked by them, are you really it? John needs to know. You ever notice that Jesus doesn't say, I'm the one? Instead, he tells them to look at what has already been accomplished. He tells them to look at the blind who now see, the deaf who now hear. He says to them, if you can't trust your, you know, it's basically if you can't trust, you know, your heart, trust what you see around you. And they go back rejoicing and telling John. Now, I often think about what it must have been like for John in that prison cell, knowing that his own life is forfeit, but at the same time realizing the one thing in which God has called him to do has been accomplished, that he has proclaimed Christ. He has announced to whole people that the kingdom is at hand. And I wonder what joy he may have felt that day of a job well done. Now we on this Godalte, this Sunday of joy, reflect on John the Baptist. We reflect on his calling and his willingness to do God's work, even at the perils of his own life. And we think about our own ministry. Like John, we rejoice in our yearly celebration of the birth of Christ, God made incarnate. But we also rejoice in the knowledge that one day Christ will come again. Yes, we wait in anticipation, maybe a little impatience, for God to come through Christ again to us. But there is that joy of knowing that the Lord not is with us already, but will also be coming. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but it's on its way also. That we each and everyone has a part of that in proclaiming the good news to allow other people know the joy of Christ. Now, I know we are on that kind of countdown towards Christmas, and 2 weeks from today will be Christmas morning. Possibly about this time of day, many of you will, you know, be looking at the destruction of wrapping paper. Maybe taking unwrapping nap if you can. Tom and I will probably be locking up the church about this time in 2 weeks. In other words, we are almost to that celebration. But sometimes in the midst of that, in that craziness, we can lose the focus. We can forget that we are supposed to be rejoicing right now because we're worried about, you know, how many people are coming for dinner, or if we got the right presents, or if whatever we order from Amazon is going to be in on time. I'm taking off a couple days this week, and I was pretty excited when the last present showed up. And we can get very overwhelmed by all the obligations. You know, it's funny as how, you know, everybody wanting to, celebrate and rejoice in the season to the point where we just get really tired of having events to go to. So it's easy to get overwhelmed and lose focus this time of year. And sometimes even lose the joy of the season, of anticipation, because we get so wrapped up in all those things that need to be done and all those events that we need to attend to and all those obligations that Lord only knows how we're going to, you know, finish or take care of. But your main job right now is to focus on this wonder, this joy, to take a few moments out of your day to realize the wonderful gift we've been given of salvation and redemption, as well as to realize this gift of the Lord who has promised us that he shall return again. Now, as I said, today we light a rose candle. It's different from our other candles. We are a church that uses purple during Advent. Other churches will use blue. But most churches on this third Sunday will use the rose. Some churches, and I've been a part of them, will even actually have a rose set of vestments, which is a pretty expensive investment when you consider you only get to wear them twice a year. But the thing is to remind us that this is a very special day. It is a day of joy. It is a day of wonder. So as the introit tells us, rejoice, my brothers and sisters. Again, rejoice. God is with us. God will come again. And I encourage you to spread that joy to others as you leave here today. To allow other people to know that Christ is with us and Christ will come again, and that they are part of this wonderful promise, this wonderful gift. To take time out of the hustle and the confusion and the chaos that happens, comes with this upcoming holiday, to focus on what is truly important. And that is, you are loved so much by a God who is willing to do whatever it took, even to send his only Son, so that we may know God, to be with God and in relationship with God. So rejoice, my brothers and sisters. Gedalte.